Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. I'm your host, Matt Tate. And yeah, KU football might be 1-1. They might be coming off a little bit of a disappointing week, but theirs wasn't quite as disappointing as Shane Jackson.
This is true.
Right? I mean, let's be honest.
By record's sake, I am definitely worse than KU football.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to say. We'll let the people judge that. But we're back for some over-under action for week three. KU at Boston College on a Friday night. Friday night lights for the Jayhawks this week. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I remember way back when, and maybe not way back when, but back when, KU played South Florida on a Friday night, and I did a story leading up to that game, just kind of examining that whole phenomenon, how weird it is, what it does to your week and your routine. And what I remember from Coach Mangino talking about it, and some of the players too, was they didn't like it. They didn't like, not because they had to play a day early or anything like that. You can paint that both ways, right? A day early, yes, but you also get an extra day of rest for the next week and preparation and all that. But what I remember is that they didn't like it because Friday night's for high schools, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to take that spotlight away. And you know, that was cool. I that's always stuck with me. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, things are different now. Every day is a day for football of all levels because of social media and just the 24/7 news cycle and all that. So, but yeah, it still strikes me as interesting. So anyway, we're here for a little look at the KU Boston College matchup. Boston College, a heavy favorite. What is it now?
Big time.
21 and a half?
I think it's settled at 21 okay. as of Thursday morning. So that's the last I've checked.
So that's 3-touchdown favorite mm-hmm. at home against the KU team that just lost to Coastal Carolina 12-7 at home. What's the actual over under number?
51, I believe, was the last time I checked.
Okay, so you're basically saying then that we're talking about a, oh my gosh, what would that be, like 38-13?
Yeah, the score on Odds Shark is 35-16 Boston College.
Okay. So there's 51 on the nose, mm-hmm. and that is a KU cover.
That is, well, a push, so it's 21 points is the spread, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said 35-16. That's 19.
Oh, no, it is 35-16. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So KU cover, according to that, and right on the number of 51. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 38-13 would be hitting 51 and Boston College covering, if you're looking at why Vegas set those numbers. So, yeah, that would be a disappointing outing for KU if they lose 38-13. But we'll see. We're not here to talk about that. First things first, though, we're going to do our five over-unders. We're going to get into the where we stand and how each week goes and all that. But from now on, we are going to start doing just those numbers.
Yeah.
The picking with the spread and the over-under that actually exist on the game, not just Shane's made-up over-unders that are so much more fun.
Yeah, exactly, because I could be so wrong.
Good point. So real quick. You taking KU or Boston College against the number?
I just did the getting to know Boston College, and I picked Boston College to win 42-10, so I picked Boston College to cover.
I like it. I will pick the same, maybe not the exact same score, but I think they win by, I think they win by 24 or more, 21 mm-hmm. or more. And you know, that's not really as much about KU as it is that Boston College is a big physical team. They're at home. They're playing pretty good football, and KU is reeling. So I would say at this point, if KU can cover, that's a minor victory.
It would be a step in the right direction because it means they scored points.
I mean,
offensively, they've really struggled. So covering would mean that they gave Boston College a run for their money in terms of offense.
Right, good point. So 42-10 is your score?
Yep.
So that's over 51. Mm-hmm. Sticking with that? Feel good about it?
I do from the Boston College side. I'm really relying on Boston College to hit the over in that 51.
Right,
I believe they obviously have a really good running back, and so I believe they'll hit the over.
I would go over as well, and I think that's partly because I think KU may score some points. They may score 20, 21, and if they do, Boston College, you know, could get into the 40s as well. And now you're talking way over. So, yeah. Well, good thing those aren't two of ours because those are boring. We're in the exact same boat on both of those.
Yeah.
Speaking of boring, Shane was pretty boring last week.
I was not boring, and that was the problem.
Yeah.
I purposely went against you
with
late audibles, and I only got one of those right. So, and that really messed me up.
I like it. Well, okay, so here's what we'll do from now on. Instead of me going first only, we'll just alternate.
Oh, okay.
So I'll go first, then you'll go first, and that way there's some mystery to it, right? What else do we have? You were 1-4 last week. You only got one right. I got two right, two and three, and I felt like a hero compared to you.
That is true. You doubled me up.
Yeah, I did pull within a single game of you in our overall standings. You're 5-5. I'm 4-6, which that sounds interesting. Sounds competitive. Here's the thing. We are both trailing the people.
Yes. Twitter is taking a lead. They're 6-4 after back-to-back 3-2 weeks based off the polls.
Yeah. So you guys listening, you're killing it. And you're about to make us look really bad, which isn't actually that hard to do. So
it's true.
Keep it up. Keep voting. Whether KU season derails or not, we're going to be here. Stick with them. Stick with us. And we'll at least have some fun with these numbers. So with that said, Shane, should we jump into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is a big week. I'm on a little bit of momentum swing here. I feel good about it. So hit me with the first one, and then you can pick the second one.
Let's just say that I actually feel a little bit more confident, at least about the over-unders, like being the numbers being a little bit tougher to pick.
Yeah, right.
Because we got more of a sample size. So,
big time.
That certainly helps. I started off with targets for Andrew Parchment, who has 15 targets on the season through two games, which simple math tells you that's a 7.5 average, which that's the over-under. So it's a matter if you think he's going to hit over 7.5 or under, just based off, I mean, I guess it could be determined by game type. Maybe they're throwing a little bit more and he gets a couple more targets that way.
Maybe they're throwing deep down the field like your blog suggested they should. I liked it. It was a great blog. If you haven't read it, check it out. It's a thought. KU's offense is struggling and it is still early, but they've got to find a way to put some points on the board. So it's an interesting look at what maybe they could do. I was surprised when I saw this because I had no idea based on how his final numbers. I had no idea he was targeted 6 times against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
I would have guessed like 2. Mm-hmm. And obviously Charlotte less than that, you know. So with that said, the number you posted is 7.5. I'm gonna go over. I think that I think KU's gonna have to throw the ball a lot. I mean, I think in their perfect world they'd try to control this thing with the running backs and the ground and you know, try to control the clock and all that, but you know, perfect worlds are tough and they don't always exist. So I think they're going to be chasing points. I think they're going to be chasing, trying to keep up. And if that's the case, Carter Stanley is going to have to find Parchment. Whether they connect or not is a whole different story. But he's going to have to look his way. So I will go over 7.5. But it's not easy. It's a good number.
Well, thank you again for telling me that's a good number. No, what is interesting though is that you know Parchment clearly is a part of this game plan. The first play of the game against Coastal Carolina, they threw deep to him, which in the blog I say they should do more of because it really avoids stacked boxes as much as you can. I'm going to go under in this situation, though. He had 9 against Indiana State, 6 against Coastal Carolina. I think the second game is a little bit closer to what you should expect going forward for Andrew Parchment, just because with Puka being back, I think there's a chance that they're trying to get more guys involved. And Daylon Charlotte, who had 0 targets in the second game, if he's more involved in the passing game, I just think there's only so many passes that can go towards him. So I think 7 is what he ends up with.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. He could have a pretty big day and catch 7 and be under. It's a good number. Go ahead. What's number 2? And I'll let you pick it first.
Well, I thought it was interesting because fourth downs was kind of the story right after the game for KU. They were 0-for-3 on fourth downs, including one where they had called back-to-back timeouts on top of Coastal Carolina also calling a timeout. So I set the over-under on fourth down attempts going forward on fourth down at 2.5. They have 5 through 2 games. So, again, simple math because I can just divide by 2. It's the craziest thing in the world.
Next week's going to be tough for you.
Yeah.
Dividing by 3 is way harder.
Not sure I can do it. I set the over-under at 2.5. Yes, they had 3 against Coastal Carolina, so it means they had 2 against Indiana State. I'm settling for under in this situation. I think it'll be right at 2, but I could easily have been talked into 3 just because, you know, there's a chance that they're getting blown out and they're like, hey, we have to go for it because we have no other options. And I think there's a chance that they've lost a little bit of faith or trust in their kicking game, and that would lead to maybe more attempts on fourth down because you can never count out Les Miles on going forward on fourth down. He even said as such earlier this week.
Yeah, you just exactly stated my case for me. I'm going to go over not because I think they should, but because I think they will. I think chasing points, you know, trying to get back in the game, they're going to be – situations, I think, in this game where they're going to feel like they have to. And when you combine the fact that they don't have a whole lot of faith in their field goal kicking right now, plus the fact that look, if you get down 21-0 or 24-0 or 24-3 even, you know, third quarter, are you really going to make it 24-6 and feel mm-hmm. good about that? I think you're going to try to go for more points, bigger points. And a lot of times that leads to fourth down attempts. But I don't know. I mean, it's certainly no gimme. I mean, for most teams in the country, 2.5 is a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
You'd go under no problem. But you did. And that,
I did.
That's interesting because I'm going to go over. So we're already two different.
That's really good, though.
Yeah.
That makes it more interesting.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So the third one, hit me.
Drew Prox has really been the guy on defense through two games. He's been a pleasant surprise, and Les Miles has kind of talked to him up a little bit earlier this week. So I thought we have to focus on one of the over-unders on him, and just because of how well he's played early in the season. He had 9 tackles against Indiana State and 11 against Coastal Carolina, so he's got 20 tackles through two games. Another easy over-under is 10 based off his average
by
here.
Two.
It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. I considered 9.5 as the line in the situation. I ultimately decided 10 because it might force someone to pick whether it's under or
yeah,
over.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like if it was 9.5, there's a chance we both went over.
Yeah, good call. I'm going to go under, sort of for those reasons, but also just because I think he's a terrific player. I think he's off to a fast start, and he looks great, and he's all heart. So he could embarrass me here and have 15 tackles. I mean, pretty easily probably because he's just that kind of player right now. But eventually, I think somebody's going to help him out. Eventually, I think other guys are gonna be a factor. I mean, Les kind of hinted at maybe Gavin Potter and Stephen Parker playing a little bit more. Hinted.
Yeah.
He said could, right? Yeah. So if they do, that probably means a little less time for Drew on the field. And that would mean fewer opportunities for tackles. Plus, I just don't know how much they're going to actually tackle him. So
true.
So it's tough. It's a good number, and it's a good choice too. I mean, he's definitely worth highlighting and focusing on. And because if you guys haven't been paying attention to him, I mean, I know you see tackles, you know, but if you haven't been paying attention, watch this guy, number 40. Yeah.
I couldn't have told
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think he's number 40. I hope I'm right.
Not very good with numbers, I'll be honest.
I hope I'm right. But pay attention to him when you're watching this game, if you're watching this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see not just him in on a lot of tackles, but you'll see why. You know, he reads things well, he's quick, he's decisive, and he flies to the football. So it could easily go over, but I'm going to go under just because of what you said. If you'd set it at 9.5, it might have been – yeah, okay, he'll get 10. But
yeah.
Now if he gets 10, it's a push. And I just, man, it's a good streak. Can he keep it going? Can he keep double-digit tackles going? Which I guess he doesn't even have that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I'm super excited for this to be a push because we are going to disagree once again. I'm going to go over in the situation. Boston College, I think, is going to want to run the ball. They have a really good running back, AJ Dillon. And I just think, you know, Drew Prox, if he's playing every snap like he has through the first two games,
right.
I think he's going to have a chance to have double digit or more, you know,
opportunities.
Tackles.
Yeah.
And, you know, Les Miles talked about it earlier this week, but their defense can't seem to get off the field. I mean, their defense is doing a good job, kind of like a bend but don't break defense type of thing. But they still, time possession wise, there's still so many plays on the defense side of the ball. And I expect that to be the case again in week 3. It's mostly due to the fact that KU's offense has struggled so much to sustain drives. So I think Drew Prox will have the opportunity to have 10 plus tackles. So I will pick the over in this situation. And we disagree for the third time.
I love it.
Super excited.
I love it. It's fun. Yeah, no doubt. All right. What's the fourth one?
Rushing attempts by KU. Through 2 weeks, they have 71 attempts. And so you guessed that the over-under is 35.5. They had 34 against Indiana State and 27 against Coastal Carolina, which was kind of surprising to me, just given how much emphasis I think we've put on the fact that they didn't throw deep and they still have an emphasis on running the ball. So that's what I set the over-under at 35.5, because, again, simple math.
Okay, I think
is it my turn?
You're picking.
I've already forgot. So I'm gonna go under in the situation. I think there is some truth to the fact that they need to throw the ball a little bit more. They may need to catch up in these types of games, or may need to catch up on Friday night. And so I think they're gonna have more pass attempts, and just based off the number of plays, I think they're gonna run less than 34.5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, 35.5.
Right.
I agree. This is the first time we go.
Dang.
We go agreement. I think that's – I mean, chasing points is the thing, right? I know I've said that 100 times now, but if they get down, it just limits what you can do. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you just keep running the ball, hoping to find something that works. Sometimes you keep running the ball, hoping to lessen the damage and minimize the damage so you don't get blown out. You know, you throw the ball and you're only out on the field for 40 seconds after three incompletions, then the other team gets a chance to score and has a lot more possessions and things like that. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know that that's going to happen. But I do think that there are opportunities to run the ball in favorable situations are probably going to be a little bit hard to come by in this one. So I will go under as well, under 35.5. And, you know, it'll be 30. It'll be 31. Yeah. I mean, it won't be 17. So and it could go over. I mean, if they have success in this game, it'll go over.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both thinking no success, and we're both thinking under. So
this is true. So first time we agreed on one, though.
Yeah, that's nice. That's. I mean, we had to agree on one.
Yeah, that is true. I think we're going to agree on this last one. But this over under wasn't actually set up by me. I just was looking at FanDuel, and it's kind of the other bets that you can do. And I just thought this one kind of stood out to me. It was first half points by Kansas, and the over under is at 7.5. So. FanDuel does not like the odds of KU putting up points in this Friday night matchup at Boston College in its first road game of the year. And so it kind of echoes what we've said earlier for much of this pod, is that Kansas has really struggled to put points and sustain drives through two games. If you expect some sort of switch, I think you go over. But for me, is it my turn or your turn?
I think it's my turn.
Okay, I'll go. You go ahead.
I am gonna go over.
Oh, okay.
Right, and we do disagree. I can feel it. But look, KU started okay in each of these games. I mean, they scored on their first possession against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
They're not playing Coastal Carolina. I realize that, but I think their confidence when they take the field is you know, they feel like, hey, we can do some things. And I think beyond that, and this isn't intended to be so dramatic, but beyond that, their season is kind of on the line. If they don't have a terrific game plan, offensively especially, for this game, which that may mean new schemes, new formations, new looks, new plays, I don't know. But if they don't have a terrific game plan, then their season could be, you know, you're talking about less than 20,000 people showing up at West Virginia or at the home game against West Virginia a week from now. So I think they have to find a way to start fast. Doesn't mean they have to score 28 first half points. They just have to score 8.
Yeah.
To win this one. So I think they find a way to get a field goal early, which will also alleviate some of those kicking issues perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then I think they also find a way to have a touchdown in there. And that's 10 in the first half. And I think they could still be down 28-10 or something like that, you know. But I like 10, man. I mean, you got to score twice is all. Like, I get it. It's been hard. They didn't score twice last week. So I realize it's not a gimme. But I like it. I think their focus is going to be dialed in. And I think it should be. I think they're desperate. And so that could help. But it sounds like you're going under.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, all week the talk has been about how bad this offense has looked through 2 weeks. And then they switch a bunch of things up and catch Boston College off guard, and now that doesn't mean they're scoring 30 points, but all of a sudden they have 10 to 13 range in the first half,
right?
And that hits over pretty easily. But for me, I just envision another week of struggling, and then you see a bunch of changes next week going into West Virginia, and then maybe that's when that's more of the dramatic, your season's on the line and that type of game. So I based off my overall final score being 42-10, I just can't imagine I can take the over and feel confident about that. So I will pick the under in the first half points.
Yeah, you got to. Even if they score a touchdown in the first half and a field goal in the second half to get to your 10, that's under. So I think you're sitting pretty in that
one. Right.
I think you are. But I still like my chances. I mean, fluke things happen. You know, there could be a kick return. There could be a defensive touchdown. I mean, fluke things happen. So I'm just trying to play the percentages as much. Maybe not the odds, but the percentages a little bit.
What if we get the reverse pass on the first touchdown of the game and it's just 8 points? Is that
that would be special. Go for two. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how this is going to go down.
Not even that you've given up on the 10 points.
They're going to miss 3 field goals in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And Les is going to be so disturbed by the kicking woes that on the last play of the first half, KU is going to punch it in to cut the lead to 31-6. And knowing his kickers are struggling and knowing that he doesn't want to trot him back out there after misses, he's going to go for two, and it's going to be 31-8 at halftime. And I'm going to win this one.
I believe
that hurts. That would hurt you. That's like that, you know, you wouldn't really lose anything, but that'd be kind of a bad beat.
Devastating.
What I'm excited to see is what the fans do on this one. I mean, all of them are always fun. It's fun to see what people are voting and where they're picking in our Twitter polls. So, but particularly this one, I think it could be heavy under. Right?
Yeah, and I do like. I mean, looking at the polls from last week, I mean, two of them were, you know, 51% and 49%. You know, there was the completed passes by Stanley. I think 51% were under, 49% were over, and then sacks by KU's defense. That was really close. So I look forward to those moments because I feel like, okay, the line was pretty close. So
yeah, yeah.
Just saying. But yeah, I do believe that there's a chance the fans are just very pessimistic about Friday night, and they hit the under on all these.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, check it out. Shane will post the polls shortly, if not already. And you can vote there. You can vote on the blog. And just pay attention to all of Shane's blogs. This podcast, The Over-Under, here at the KU Sports Hours, brought to you by FanDuel. And you should check them out. And you can do that through our website. So keep an eye out for that. And keep an eye out for your over-under predictions this week. Friday night, don't forget that, because that would be a bummer if you settled in for Saturday to track your over-unders and then there is no game. So Friday night, KU at Boston College. Benton Smith will be out there, and we'll have all your coverage. As always, for now, I'm Matt Tate. That's Shane Jackson. We'll see where we stand next week, and if either one of us can make up ground on you fine folks in the Twitterverse. Thanks for checking out the KU Sports Hour. We'll talk to you guys again real soon on another episode.